The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Hey, this is Ryan Wiggins and Brad Range in for Annie today after a very long one round. So we're into hour number three of the one round of voting. Mike Johnson was finally, eventually re-elected. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. It is Mike Johnson. And he has just now stepped to the podium to accept the speakership. We're going to go to it live.
Today, if we could, I'd ask you all to join me in a moment of silence for the victims of this horrific act. Thank you. Thank you for that. I believe in giving honor where honor is due, and all of us do well to honor our spouses. My wife happens to be here this time. She didn't make it last time. It happened a little sudden. Kelly, would you stand up here in the gallery? Thank you. And we have our four children here, Hannah, Abby, Jack, and Will. Will you all stand up just really quickly? Come on. I wanted to do that. All of us recognize that there are no perks to being a congressman's kid, right? It's all sacrifice. And our spouses put up with so much, endless hours and travel and all the responsibilities upon us. And we're good to remind them how important they are to us and how we could not do the job without them. And so it's appropriate for all of us to do that. Thank you. Thank you, guys. This is a momentous time in the nation of the history of our nation. It really is. And as members of the 119th Congress, we are stewards of the great American Revolution that began almost exactly now 250 years ago, 1775 and 1776. It will fall at the time of this Congress, the great anniversary. And in these 2.5 centuries, we've been reminded repeatedly that freedom is never free. And we have stood tall as the greatest nation on the face of the earth. It is without debate. We are the freest, the most powerful, most benevolent nation that has ever been in the history of the world. It's not by happenstance. We are the ones who settled the West. We are the ones who ended slavery, who laid the Transcontinental Railroad, who gave women the right to vote, who won 2 world wars, who landed on the moon, and who won the Cold War. Throughout our history, we have done what no one thought was possible. And still, at 250 years old, our nation is actually a young nation. This past fall, I had opportunity to go to the G7 speakers meeting. It was held in Italy. It's the only international trip I took as speaker over the last 14 months because I didn't have time to do it, but it was a quick 3-day jaunt. And met with my colleagues, the speakers of the other parliaments, the great governments around the world. And we talked about that, how really special America is, how unique we are in our place on the globe, and how important it is for us to maintain that. And as I talked to these colleagues from around the world, I thought, our closest allies, you know, who recognize how important we are, how important this body, this house is, I thought about how is it that such a young country has become so exceptional, so singular in its importance, that today stands as the world's leader in liberty and the economy and culture. 100 years ago, President Calvin Coolidge answered that very question in his inaugural address. It was March of 100 years ago, exactly almost. He said this, "We best serve our own country and most successfully discharge our obligations to humanity by continuing to be openly and candidly, intensely and scrupulously American." I love that. I love that. Today, yeah, that's right. That's an applause line. Today, my friends, our nation is the envy of the world. Why? Because we have been marked by a spirit and a people who are explicitly that. We are explicitly American. We don't try to be like other nations, and we recognize that a strong America is good for the entire world. And everybody around the globe knows that. That's right. We also recognize that the core principles that made America what we are must still be preserved today. The principles, I call them the seven core principles of American conservatism, but it's really the seven core principles of the nation itself. Individual freedom, limited government, the rule of law, peace through strength, fiscal responsibility, free markets, human dignity. These are the ingredients, the things that made us who we are. And in America, we know that human flourishing is best achieved by adherence to time-tested truths. We could list a number of those simple truths. Here's a couple. It's better to give a hand up than a hand out. That innovation thrives when bureaucracy dies. The simple truth that it is parents and families and not administrators that must be in charge of their children's education. The path of prosperity has long been paved with policies that put America and Americans first. And that is what we will champion in the 119th Congress. We have a mandate, and that was shown in the election cycle. The people want an America First agenda. They do. Sadly, for the past 4 years of divided government, too many politicians in Washington have done the opposite. Open borders and overregulation have destroyed our cities and stifled innovation. Inflation and weak leadership have left Americans poorer. And they have placed our country in a perilous position. That's right. But in recent months, we've witnessed something happening, something that's really remarkable, a political moment in our modern history, a groundswell of Americans from every state, race, and religion who now demand that we put the interest of Americans first again. And we will. And we will. This is a powerful new coalition of our country. It's a coalition that insists that we purge the policies of America last and we bury them in the graveyard of history's mistakes, because it was a big mistake. To that end, this Congress will renounce the status quo and we will listen to the voices of the people. We will act quickly and we will start by defending our nation's borders. That's the number one priority. Yes. In coordination with President Trump, this Congress will give our border and immigration enforcement agents the resources that they need to do their job. We will secure the border, we will deport dangerous, criminal, illegal aliens, and finally finish building the border wall. You said you'd work with us on that, Hakeem. I'm counting on it. After 4 years of high inflation, we have a big agenda. We have a lot to do, and we can do it in a bipartisan fashion. We can fight high inflation, and we must. We'll give relief to Americans, and we'll extend the Trump tax cuts. We're going to protect our industries from one-sided trade deals, and we're going to bring overseas investments back to America's shores. We'll defeat the harmful effects of inflation, and we'll make life affordable again for America's hardworking people. As leaders of a nation with vast natural resources that God has blessed us with, it is our duty to restore America's energy dominance, and that's what we'll do. We have to apply common sense. We have to stop the attacks on liquefied natural gas, pass legislation to eliminate the Green New Deal. That funding. We're going to expedite new drilling permits. We're going to save the jobs of our auto manufacturers, and we're going to do that by ending the ridiculous EV mandates. And as heirs to the American Revolution and the descendants of patriots who defy tyranny, in the coming months, we are going to pass legislation to roll back the totalitarian fourth branch of government known as the administrative state. We're going to drastically cut back the size and scope of government. We're going to return the power back to the people. And in coordination with President Trump and his administration, we are going to create a leaner, faster, and more efficient federal workforce. We need to do that. Our people do not deserve to be ruled by millions of bureaucrats they've never voted for, never met, and can never hold accountable. They deserve a government that is led by those they've elected to lead. That is how Article I is supposed to work. That was the idea of the Congress, and we will return to that principle. The American people have called on us to reject business as usual and throw out the status quo. We must and we will heed their call. This is especially important as it comes to our nation's military. For too long, the Washington establishment has sought to appease and accommodate our nation's adversaries. They've tried to replace our military warriors with social justice warriors. It does not work. And while we're still the most powerful fighting force in the history of the world, by God's grace, the same establishment has eroded the capacities of our Army and Navy and diminished the readiness of our Air Force. We have to put an end to this madness. My friends and my colleagues, I think we should all unite in this idea. It is time now to reinstate fear in our enemies, refocus our mission on lethality, and realign our commitment to peace through strength right now. We have to prioritize the things that matter most. We have to make adequate investments in defense. This is the most dangerous moment since World War II, and everyone around the world is looking to America and looking to this body to ensure that we maintain the peace. What we're proposing now is just simply, as President Trump likes to say, a return to common sense. And he's exactly right. That message resonated across the country. I am very thankful, personally, that this body is filled with men and women who are committed to that change, to return to common sense. We can do this together. We should. It is our responsibility to do so. When I first took this gavel, many of you heard me say that I don't believe in luck or consequence. I believe in the idea of providence. And this morning, I participated with many of you early this morning in the 119th Congress Interfaith Prayer Service. It was held at St. Peter's Catholic Church. Many of you were there. It was an ecumenical service in a bipartisan service, which was great. My good friend Hakeem Jeffries began by reading with the Old Testament. He read out of Deuteronomy 10. And then I was asked to provide a prayer for the nation. I offered one that is quite familiar to historians and probably many of us. It said right here in the program, it says right under my name, it is said each day of his 8 years of the presidency and every day thereafter until his death, President Thomas Jefferson recited this prayer. I wanted to share it with you here at the end of my remarks, not as a prayer per se right now, but as really as a reminder of what our third president and the primary author of the Declaration of Independence thought was so important that it should be a daily recitation. Let me just read you that prayer. It goes like this. Thomas Jefferson's Prayer for the Nation, it's entitled. Almighty God, who has given us this good land for our heritage, we humbly beseech thee that we may always prove ourselves a people mindful of thy favor and glad to do thy will. Bless our land with honorable ministry, sound learning, and pure manners. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Defend our liberties and fashion into one united people the multitude brought hither out of many kindreds and tongues. Endow with thy spirit of wisdom those whom in thy name we entrust the authority of government, that there may be justice and peace at home, and that through obedience to thy law, we may show forth thy praise among the nations of the earth. In time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness, and in the day of trouble, suffer not our trust in thee to fail, of which we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That was Thomas Jefferson's prayer. Suffer not our trust in thee to fail. We will not fail. We cannot fail. We are all in this together. Our nation is counting on us to band together and solve these problems and get this done. I've said before that I believe God has elevated each one of you, that's just my belief, to your positions of leadership. And it's an act of providence that you've all been placed in your specific roles in this specific moment at this historic time, at the 250-year inflection point of the greatest nation in the history of the world. It is no small thing. We're also witnesses to the providence that spared our incoming president, President Trump, from the assassin's bullet, remarkable as that was, and to the new coalition of Americans that has risen from every creed, color, and cul-de-sac who want us to put America first. Our people are asking for a thriving economy and a rebuilt middle class and strong borders and a strong military, and we can deliver that. See, these objectives and these aims don't have an R or a D behind them. They have a USA. That's what we're about. In just a few moments, we're all going to take an oath. It is the same one oath for one nation and under the banner of one great American flag. This is an opportunity for us to protect our shared American heritage, to maintain the conditions needed for self-government, and to defend what Hakeem said earlier, the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Working together, we have the potential to be one of the most consequential Congresses in the history of this great nation. So long as we work together, we do the right thing, and we put America first. As we think about all we've accomplished in the past 250 years, we can only imagine what life will be like 250 years from now. Whatever the future may look like, if we do our jobs now, we can help ensure that our civic virtues will endure, that this nation will still be an example to all the world for its greatness and its example of self-government, and that in spite of our great challenges and even our disagreements and our healthy debates, this extraordinary institution, the People's House, will still be standing strong. Thank you all so much, and God bless America.
Well, you just heard the former and continuing Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, in his acceptance speech as a couple of dissenting votes earlier today switched over. And so there's only one round of voting, and he is going to continue to be the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. I don't know about you, Brad, but whenever I hear him speak, I think he's a good guy. He's got his priorities straight. I would say I don't really forget that, but in the daily grind of covering Congress, you know, you find that people aren't perfect. And they actually said that in the nomination speech. I think that the woman from the representative from Michigan said, look, you're not going to ever find a perfect speaker and you're never going to find a perfect person. Yet I nominate Mike Johnson. And, and that's a given, but it's a good reminder. And I really do think he's got his priorities straight. Doesn't mean he's going to be perfect. Doesn't mean I won't personally disagree with him. Doesn't mean that he's going to get everything right. But even if he is persuadable, even if he's not the stalwart that he seems to be, the good thing is the persuasion in this Congress and in this administration is going to be mostly toward the right things.
Right.
So I think this is a good thing. I think this is something that we can be glad about and move forward. And Monday will proceed as planned here. And we will take a short break and come back and update you on anything else that happens here. I don't anticipate there's going to be any more big news.
There's a lot of like bookkeeping and donut making now that will be.
And happening. Other people making speeches and saying things. But I think the big story will be to find out now, and I don't know if we'll find out before the end of our show, maybe Reardon will, about what caused those two dissenting votes, Keith Self and Ralph Norman, to switch back and say, no, I'm not. I'm actually going to vote for Johnson. That'll be a story going forward. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back on the Annie Fry Show.
But until then, it's alienation. I know
this is the Annie Fry Show. The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
If you're considering an annuity as part of your retirement plan, we need to talk. Hi, I'm Bob Stockdale, Senior Vice President Investments with the ClearPath Wealth Management Group at Stifel and host of On the Money, Saturday mornings at 11 on 97.1 FM Talk. Annuities can be a useful tool for some retirement investors, but not all annuities are created equal. Every week, we meet clients who own complex annuities that don't suit their needs and, in some cases, actively undermine their retirement plan. Before you purchase an annuity, get a second opinion from the ClearPath Wealth Management Group at Stifel. Requesting a consultation is free of charge. To request a free consultation, contact us at clearpathinvesting.com. That's clearpathinvesting.com or call us at 636-695-2650. That's clearpathinvesting.com or 636-695-2650. Stifel Nicholas & Company Incorporated, member NYSC and SIPC.
Your voice can be key to changing lives. That's why the American Cancer Society is calling on Black women from all walks of life to join Voices of Black Women, a groundbreaking research study led by the American Cancer Society and backed by more than 70 years of trusted cancer research studies and breakthroughs. The Voices of Black Women study is designed to better understand why and how cancer and other conditions impact Black women. It's a commitment to partnering with Black women to better understand their lived experiences. Learn more at voices.cancer.org.
Hi, I'm Bob Kershaw with Retirement Advisory Group. Are you worried about market volatility? Are you concerned your money won't last you through retirement?
Hi, I'm Tammy Kershaw, and as a family-owned business, we are committed to protecting your retirement, whether you're nearing retirement or already retired. We have a lot of folks that aren't aware of all the new investment choices that are available, which give you growth and protection from losses at the same time. Are you aware of all the fees that you are currently paying? We can show you how to avoid those fees. So come in now for your free retirement review and get a second opinion on your retirement plan. And just for coming in, you'll get a copy of our latest edition book, Your Key to a Worry-Free Retirement. Let us show you how to retire with confidence.
We are proud to say we haven't lost a penny of our clients' money in 39 years, and we won't lose a penny of yours either. Let our family help your family. Call us now at 314-993-9494 or go online to retirementkey.com. That's retirementkey.com.
Hey, 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 Jimmy Failey here with a quick listening tip for you. If you miss Fox Across America or any of your other Fox News favorites, do not worry. I got you covered. You can stream previously aired shows with Rewind, available exclusively on the free Odyssey app. So if you're busy work days, it doesn't mean you have to miss out on the news. Listen to your Fox shows on your time with Odyssey. To get started, just download the free Odyssey app and search for Fox News Radio. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. I'm spelling it out in case you're a little slow like me.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show live from the Air Comfort Service Heating, Cooling, and Insulation Studio. If you have a furnace that needs service, a heat pump that needs repairs, or a boiler that needs to be replaced, contact Air Comfort Service. They offer 24/7 emergency heating service too. AirComfortService.com.
The minds and voices that shape America are talking here.
This is Brian Kilmeade.
This is Griff Jenkins from Fox News.
This is Jimmy Failla.
Stream it on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk.
97.1 on the Odyssey app on your phone. You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on X at Annie Fry Show.
For first Friday of the year. Ryan Wiggins, Brad Range in for Annie today. Mark Reardon coming in about a half an hour. I just mentioned before, we just listened to the House Speaker Mike Johnson's, not concession speech, but his, what do we call it? The
acceptance speech.
Yeah. Thank you. We just listened to that. It was a good speech. All prepared, and they didn't have to really alter anything because they didn't go to a second vote.
Right.
So probably just a little later than they thought it was going to be, but he is the Speaker of the House. He's still sitting in the chair. In fact, people are just walking up and saying hello to him. He looks like a judge sitting up there. I said at the end of that segment, though, that we were looking to see, you know, really the story hanging out there right now is, if you're just tuning in, I'll catch you up real quick. The reason this vote, this one round of voting, because this is not the second, you know, this is a long time, this has been one round. It was supposed to be over by, what, roughly 12:30? And it didn't get over until close to 2 when we actually found out that two of the three dissenters on the Republican side had decided to flip their votes before they officially counted them.
Right.
So they did the roll call and they voted for somebody else. But then behind the scenes, apparently two of the three, now Thomas Massie, he didn't change. He's the same as he was. He was a no vote. But these two other representatives, Keith Self and Ralph Norman, went behind the scenes back with a couple other representatives and Johnson. And Brad's got an updated report on what happened.
Yeah, so this is from Chad Pergram, and he's Fox's senior White House reporter. And if you want to know where I'm getting this, I'm pulling this off of his Twitter feed. According to this, it's 4 minutes old. He said GOP Rep. Nancy Mace got Norman and Self together, and they went to a side office near the floor with Johnson. Trump was on the speakerphone. Colleague Brett Baer reports, Trump said it would be disrespectful to the Americans who voted in a historic presidential election to have this speaker's vote go to a second or third ballot.
So Trump's on the call with these guys.
Yeah, these guys are in the room and Trump is on a speakerphone. Okay. And he said to have this speaker vote go to a second or third ballot, and it would be disrespectful to me. He ended it with, fellas, we have a lot to do. Let's get to it. And then they voted for Johnson. So that's what that tweet says.
So that's Chad Pergram reporting that.
Chad Pergram's reporting that that's what Brett Baer reported.
Okay. All right. So, and that's coming from the source being Nancy Mace?
Nancy Mace was the one that got them together.
Well, that's interesting. She doesn't seem like she doesn't seem like that's her role.
But maybe it is. Who knows?
Because she does kind of go between the, I don't want to call them establishment Republicans, but a little bit more traditional faction of Republicans, because she ran on that, mm-hmm. not this year, but 2 years ago. She was the more like common sense Republican because she got primaried and she ran as more of the common sense one. But then she does a lot of things that are a little bit more media, you know, oriented, mm-hmm. gets attention,
makes a lot of noise.
And she dissents a lot more than most Republicans do. So that would put her kind of in, you know, one foot in each category. I guess it makes sense for her to do that. But there's more to this.
Yeah. So now this tweet is 2 minutes old and it's from Chad Pergram as well. He said from colleague Krista Garvin, and I'm not sure what organization or outlet she works for, GOP Texas Rep. Self said this, I'm not going to give you the specifics. That's up to the speaker. We shored up the reconciliation team because we know that is, know that this will be a heavy lift to get the Trump agenda across the line in the reconciliation package. So we shored up the reconciliation team or the negotiating team. I was very frustrated with the 118th Congress, and that's why we needed to shore up the process to make it more oriented for the Trump agenda, because we needed more input from members like myself, not a chairman, not a leadership position. And I think that's what we have done.
The person saying like myself is who?
That is Rep. Self.
That's Keith Self. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So they're talking about budget stuff there.
Budget stuff. Yeah. Reconciliation is the budget package that you can do with certain rules. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but in that and reconciliation, you only need a simple majority. You don't need the 60 vote.
Right. Which is how they pass a lot of things is through reconciliation. So I just wonder what we'll find out this, you know, he said, you know, I'm not going to give you all the specifics.
Yeah, this is all very fresh.
I would be interested to hear what he means by the reconciliation negotiation team. if that's Congress people or if that's other people.
Well, I think that's what it is. It's a group of congressmen and women who get together and they negotiate the reconciliation package.
See, I wonder if that means that some people got kicked off of that maybe. Or if they just added more. I don't know how that works.
Maybe he didn't. Like, judging from what he's saying, it's like, oh, we got too many chairmen in leadership positions and we don't have enough just average representatives there.
You know, it's weird because I don't know that anybody's going to really... Everybody's going to be happy now, and you know, in the news anyway, on the Republican side, people are going to say, "Oh, good, it got done, first round vote, you know, and all that," and everybody's going to be happy. But I'm actually happy with the way it played out too. I like that there was dissent. I like that it sounds like there was some negotiation that had to do with budgeting in the future. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what that is yet, but we'll find that out.
Yeah,
I'm glad that Thomas Massie continued to dissent.
Yeah.
Because I respect that guy. I really do. I like what he has to say. I like the solutions he comes up with budgeting, because he comes up with stuff that you're not expecting. And for him to say, no, I'm not going to participate in this, means that he's going to continue to be a thorn in the side of all budget stuff.
He is a budget hawk. It's interesting that you mention that, because in my search on Twitter, one of the things that I saw from him was a tweet, and it was a box. I don't know if you know this or not, but he wears the debt counter clock on his lapel.
No, I
yes,
didn't.
Yes, he's got that.
And he wears it on his shirt?
Yeah.
Is it constantly rising?
On his coat. On his jacket,
yeah,
when he goes on the floor. And one of the things that he's done is he's had a bunch of these in a box, and he's giving every new member of Congress one of those counters.
See, that's fantastic. That's perspective.
He's about a budget hawk. He's about the budget. He's about the deficit. He is really about those things. So, like, I know people are frustrated with him, but the thing is you need a Thomas Massie out there pulling and moving, you know, the GOP and Congress towards that end to be more... financially responsible.
Yeah. To remember, this is the big picture, guys. It's not about negotiating this one thing this one time for this 2 years. Remember that we're headed toward fiscal Armageddon.
Right.
Like, remember this, everyone. I'm so glad he's there. I'm glad he dissented. I'm also glad, though, on the other side of this, that Mike Johnson is the speaker. I think that he's a good guy. I think that he's got his priorities straight. And with just a few votes to lose,
yeah.
If you have these people constantly in his ear saying, no, remember the big picture, I think this ends well.
Yeah, and I'm happy to hear that if that reporting is accurate, if that reporting is true, that the dissenting voices that did flip were wanting something that actually oriented to make it more America first,
mm-hmm.
not like less America first.
Yeah, I mean, they're not fighting Trump. They said, sounds like in that statement, that they're like, we want the Trump agenda.
Right.
We just want to make sure that we're going to get there.
We want it more Trump and more agenda-y.
yeah, whatever words they're going to use to say, remember, we're trying to cut the budget here.
Yeah.
I do think that Donald Trump loses focus of that a little bit. He's a negotiator.
Yeah.
He's not a traditional conservative.
Right. And
so it's important to have these guys.
Yeah, it's important to remember, too, that like when you're talking about deficit, when you cut taxes, you're raising the deficit.
Yeah.
And so they want spending cuts as well. They don't just want to stop taxing people. They
right.
want to like stop spending, too.
I respect it. I'm glad this went down the way that it did. I'm glad I got to cover it with you today. We are going to take this is kind of a short segment. We're going to take a short break. We had some stuff planned for today. We didn't know how today was going to go, obviously, and it's been kind of kooky. But stick around, because one of the things that we pulled for today is the absolute funniest things Trump did. Is this ever or just in 2024?
This is ever, because some of these go like back before he even ran for office.
This is the funniest stuff that Trump has done up until now, and we've got it in audio. This will be fun. Stick around. I am just
a crosshair. This is the Annie Fry Show. Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie.
American Mortgage is the home of the bagel loan, and if shopping for a new home in 2025, is on your list of New Year's resolutions, make sure that you make a great connection with a mortgage lender who's going to give you the best deal out there. And that's Stewie. Stewie is my friend. He is Stewie of Stewart's American Mortgage, and he is there to guide you through the mortgage process and put you in the best financial situation possible to be able to acquire that home of your dreams. The number to reach him directly to the cell phone in his pocket right now, 314-324-4440. That's 314-324-4440. You can Google the Bega Loan as well. But when you start talking to Stewie about the Bega Loan and your new home purchase, here's what you're going to understand. You get to go through that whole process of acquiring your mortgage. He can close in less than 2 weeks, but you're going to be able to do all of it with no closing costs. Zero fees at the end of the whole transaction. It's a smart move. 314-324-4440. 314-324-4440. Google the Bega Loan, NMLS number 226715.
Question. Are you a maintain it before it breaks person or a wait for a problem person? A get ahead of the game or just see what happens type? Well, if you're the practical, forward-thinking sort, then get this. For a limited time, the rock-solid Fix-It-Right guys at Jerry Kelly will come tune up and inspect your furnace for just $98. It's normally $143, and that's very little money for a lot of peace of mind. Check it out now at
jerrykelly.com.
Hey, it's Mark Reardon. If you're nearing retirement or already retired, call my friends Thomas Helbig and Bob Kershaw with the Retirement Advisory Group. They'll show you how linking to the market is much safer than owning the market for your retirement savings. They're the official financial advisors of my show. Go to retirementkey.com.
Oh man, I almost missed the time check. The Tay's YouTube live chat poll is what will prices do on the essentials this year? Stop laughing at me, Ryan. That is rough whenever they don't tell you.
See?
Yeah, it's all right though. I deserved that. So what will the prices on the essentials do this year? Will they go up? Will they stay the same? Will they go down a little? Or will they go down a lot? We talked about it a little bit earlier. We want to hear what you think. Right now, the time is 2:42. This time check is sponsored by Jerry Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning.
It's time for a $98 furnace tune-up.
Hey, it's Mark Reardon. Good afternoon. Off for about 10 days. It feels like a month, but we have a lot to catch up on, including terrorist attacks in Las Vegas and NOLA, and then some nonsense, of course, in the streets of St. Louis early yesterday morning. We'll cover that and a whole lot more. It all starts after Fox News.
My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beauty focus, EOU.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on X at Annie Fry Show.
My acres of a land I've achieved. It may be hard for you to stop and believe, but for you, I leave it all.
YouTube live chat poll is what will prices on the essentials do this year? Will they go up, stay the same, go down a little, or go down a lot? We'll give you the results of that poll at the end of this segment. And speaking of which, a lot of people on the stream right now asking, speaking of stream, how the bidet is going at home. And I am sorry to say that I screwed it up. I was going to save this story, but people are asking about it. And so, you know, I feel obligated to tell you that here's the problem. My wonderful handyman that I go to for basically everything, he set it up to where I would have the bidet shipped to his house.
Okay.
So that my wife wouldn't even know that it was happening.
Yeah.
And then he would come while my wife was in school and install it, and she'd come home one day and it would just be done.
It would surprise her when she's like, using the bathroom.
Gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
What was that?
Yeah. But the problem is, when I was filling out the address form, I put my own zip code on it.
Oops.
Instead of his. And it screwed everything up for weeks. And so it has arrived at his house now. We have not had the chance to install it because we've been home for Christmas and stuff. Yeah. So that'll happen next week, apparently. I'll give you the play-by-play once it does, though. I promise.
I don't know if I want that play-by-play.
Oh, sure you do. We have the funniest Trump moments ever. So this isn't just from 2024, but we're going to go backwards here. The top eight, and this is according to, you know,
I think it's Defiant L's on Twitter.
Yeah, a consensus of people on Twitter coming up with these. There is one that I don't think made this that I'll mention, But instead of setting each one of them up, I'm just going to play it. And then if you're listening, you can try to place like what year, where this was. Some of these I already know.
Yeah.
Most of these actually I already know. But I want to set it up that way and just play them outright, and then we'll talk about them. Here's number 8.
Democrats. Ooh, there was a mosquito. I don't want mosquitoes around me. I don't like mosquitoes. I don't like those mosquitoes. I never did. Okay, speaking of mosquitoes, hello, Hillary. How are you doing?
So I'm going to say 2016 for that one.
He's like smashing the mosquito on the... I don't like him.
The only thing that I couldn't figure out is, was Hillary nearby? Or was he calling the mosquito Hillary?
I think he was.
Oh, so you like smashed it. Hello, Hillary.
Yeah, this is this was a campaign event.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. That's number 8. Here's number 7.
You're a billionaire, though. Would you not move it here just for having it in America?
Excuse me, because I'm a businessman. Let me just tell you something, and it's very interesting. You're not bringing up anything new. You know, you're acting like you're the great reporter, blah, blah, blah.
The Pew Research, which is independent, says...
Don't be naive. You're a very naive person.
The Pew Research says that there are, for immigrants on the whole,
Come on, try getting it out. Try getting it out.
I'll get it out.
I mean, I don't know if you're going to put this on television, but you don't even know what you're talking about. Try getting it out. Go ahead. Okay.
It's fun when you...
Whoa, I don't remember that.
Yeah, so this was at Trump Tower, and he was sitting down for an interview at Trump Tower. I think this is right around the time when he first announced that he was running for office. And I didn't even recognize the reporter, but he was just mauling her.
That sounds like early on. I was going to say, that sounds like early Trump, because he... At the beginning, he was like, oh, press. Yeah, let's do some press. Now he's probably like, shit. get away from me.
Here we are, the fake news again.
Here we go. All right. So these are kind of early on. I think I know when this one. I won't set it here. Number 6.
Proven that we can actually be civil to each other. In fact, just before taking the dais, Hillary accidentally bumped into me, and she very civilly said, pardon me.
Yeah, that was from the Al Smith dinner.
Yeah.
That was a written joke. That wasn't just off the cuff.
And if you were listening, you could hear her laugh.
She does laugh.
She was the first person to laugh, and it wasn't like a giggle. It was head back, leaning back in her chair, cackle, laugh, big, hard.
I remember covering this joke. Actually, I remember covering it later because it was one of those really memorable jokes because everybody remembered it. And really dissecting, did Hillary actually think that was funny? Or is that something you have to laugh at because you're there?
It seemed genuine to me.
I thought so too.
That was a big laugh, and she didn't like ramp into it. And it wasn't like a. belly laugh. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I thought so too. Now a lot of this, obviously, all three of them so far have been from early in Trump's political career, and I get it. He had more showbiz going on back then. After you're the president of the United States. You know, I think it's not that he never jokes, as you'll hear. There's still some funny stuff coming up. But it does take a little bit of a backseat because you know you're not just out there to campaign and shake hands and do camera. You're there to actually govern, and it becomes a little more serious. That's why you see presidents age so much from a beginning of a term, especially over 8 years, beginning of a term to the end of a term. Man, the pictures look completely different. You remember the George W. Bush picture?
Yes.
He looks like a little kid at the beginning of 2000.
I mean, even Barack Obama, he looked weathered.
Yeah, he really did. I mean, he had a lot more wrinkles. And part of that's just age, you know, almost a decade later.
But stress will do that to you.
Yeah, it's a stressful job. This is number 5.
There's a group called White Dudes for Harris. Have you seen this? White Dudes for Harris. Anybody know? Are some of you here? White Dudes for Harris. Doesn't sound like it. But I'm not worried about them at all because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me.
Was that the Al Smith dinner too?
That was this year.
That's what I thought. That was a written joke, and that was a really good one. And obviously, he's still got some jokes in him. That was, although, you know, you got writers for that. That's not off the cuff. Although, you know, most politicians are a little funny. So if you went over the entire career of anybody who's been in politics for a long time, you could probably find a best of and come up with some funny stuff because they're usually pretty charismatic people. But Trump is a different level. He was an entertainer. I mean, that's one of the reasons that he's famous is because he's been in so much stuff. Number four, I definitely remember this one.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Yeah, because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
Oh my gosh, I remember that. That was definitely off the cuff.
Yes.
Nobody wrote that. And that was really funny. That's so funny that comedians will still mention it. Like Dave Chappelle just did a bit where he
mentioned
it.
Was that here? Was that in St. Louis?
When I think it was. I think that was the town hall.
That was the stand-up style one where they had the microphones and stuff like that. So,
do you think St. Louis's days of hosting political events like that are over? Because we're not a swing state.
Maybe. Because that always
We weren't then either, but
it went to Wash U.
When
he did that one, I mean, Claire McCaskill was still a senator, so you had a Democrat senator.
I guess that's true. I just don't see us being involved in those conversations in the future. Because we had had a few of those at Wash U, not just that one. But it's because Missouri had been more on the bubble.
Yeah.
At least in principle.
I think the days of the debate is starting to come to a close, too.
Debates in general?
Yeah, I think you'll get one or two, and it's going to be like nobody on the stage. There won't be the town hall style. There's, you know, all of that. So
The days of the debate in the primary or at all?
I think of the presidential race. I think those are over.
Because I think the days of debates and primaries are just getting going.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's how people make names for themselves. Yeah. You know, we didn't know Vivek Ramaswamy. We didn't know Mike Huckabee before primaries. That's how people make names. This is number three on the list of funniest Trump moments.
USF Whitaker to be involved in the Russia probe. You want him
to, it's up to him.
Do you want him to rein in Robert Mueller?
What a stupid question that is. What a stupid question. But I watch you a lot. You ask a lot of stupid questions.
Yeah, I think I remember that one, too. That was probably 2018.
Yeah, that was after. So they were asking about Matt Whitaker becoming the new attorney general. So he was the acting attorney general, I think, in between Barr and Sessions, was it? Or Rosenstein?
You just brought up Matt Whitaker, who has been a frequent guest on this show. And was he was appointed to something, wasn't he?
Acting Attorney General.
No, recently.
Oh, maybe?
Matt Whitaker, I thought, okay, Trump chooses former acting AG Matt Whitaker as NATO ambassador.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Good luck, NATO.
I thought I remembered that he got picked. I wonder if we'll be able to get him back. You've got some good guests coming up next week. I know that
I'm working on
it. You're playing,
guests.
Fingers crossed. We won't say. Number two of the funniest Trump clips.
This is a tough business to run for president.
Oh, I know. You're a tough guy, Jeb.
And we need to have a leader that is
real tough.
You're never going to be president of the United States
tough,
by insulting
Jeb,
your way to
well,
the presidency.
Let's see. I'm at 42 and you're at 3. So far, I'm doing better.
Doesn't matter.
So far, I'm doing better. You know, you started off over here, Jeb. You're moving over further and further. Pretty soon, you're going to be off the end.
This doesn't do a thing.
Oh, man. Winning changes everything.
Yeah. So you remember in the primary debates how like the highest person was in the center and then the lower numbers you got, the more they moved you off to the
edge of
the
stage.
Oh,
yeah, and he was pushing him off the stage. Yeah. That's right. Wow. Yeah, that didn't age well for Jeb. In fact, Jeb's career really didn't age well from that moment on.
He never came back from that.
No, he didn't. And here is, at last, the number one, according to the online consensus, the number one funniest Trump clip.
What's the difference between a wet raccoon and Donald J. Trump's hair? A wet raccoon doesn't have $7 billion in the bank.
Wow. I actually don't remember that clip.
Yeah. So this was at a Trump roast, like a Comedy Central Trump
roast.
Oh,
I've seen that.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember that joke even after watching
it. Yeah, this is before he even ran for office.
This is pretty good. Now, the one that I said I think is my favorite Trump clip, I've said it on the show before, is when he was president at the time. I think this is probably 2017-ish. He is introducing, he's giving like the Medal of Freedom to Navajo code talkers.
Okay.
And it's a really cool moment.
Yeah.
And they, because they're very old and they're, you know, they're probably very few of them left even at that point, let alone now. And he's giving them the Medal of Freedom. He stops in the middle and he says something about Native Americans and he goes, and then there's one over there called Pocahontas, but we won't bring her into this conversation. And he riffs like for a couple seconds on Elizabeth Warren in the middle of this for no reason. And then he stops himself and he's like, yeah, we're just going to go. But you guys are great people. You guys are great people. This is about you guys today. All right. The YouTube live chat poll today. What will prices on the essentials do this year? Go up, stay the same, go down a little, or go down a lot? What are the results, Brad?
So looking at the poll, I think we have 118 votes. And the last place with 8% of the vote was go down a lot. Then it was go up, which was about 15%. Then 23% said stay the same. And then the vast majority say at 54% go down a little.
Well, I hope the majority is right on this one. Go down a little. That's kind of what I chose too, although stay the same was right there in the conversation. I think Brad chose that one. Let's hope they go down a little. I don't think they'll go down a lot. That'd be great. As long as they don't go up, you know, that would be the worst thing that could happen. Looking forward to this year here on the third day of the year. Annie will be back on Monday, January 6th, where we will have an official new president-elect as certified by Congress. We will see you then.